afterwards, a different kind of enjoyment, a different kind of psychological enjoyment, when he thinks over the thoughts, the ideas, a certain kind of psychological enjoyment that is, as I said, I'm not trying to explain it, I'm just saying that that's the way it is. And the same thing is true with regard to the to a person's feelings towards the taivas. The feelings towards the taivas are clearly that a person on Yom HaMisa senses the zit, it's gone. There's all the enjoyments that he had in life, all of it, all gone, everything. Okay, whatever they may be. Okay. I mean, it's you always see that people want to die with their family around them, but you can't tell me that they think the family's going with them. I mean, it's the end of that whole thing. I mean, that whatever it might be, I mean, is gone. Okay, Masha'ina King, you do not feel that way with regard to the world of karma. I'm just talking about from a psychological plane. Just don't feel that way. Okay, why it is, I can't tell you. I can't explain why, but that's a fact. And you just don't have that same emotional attitude towards the world of karma, that this is going to end. If you want to say the reason is because the world that you're involved in is an infinite world, and that is a carryover in the psyche of man, when he's partaking of this infinity, and therefore the idea of a termination, because of the subject matter, the idea of termination is canceled out. Could very well be, but these are explanations. But I'm just telling you what the fact is. Yes. So what I'm saying is, a person that is dying, that enjoys ideas, does not say, "Oh, I can't enjoy ideas anymore." That you don't. No one has that experience. People do not have that experience. A person does not think, "Oh boy, even if his whole life was ideas, he's not going to think, oh, I'm not going to be able to have that enjoyment of ideas anymore." That thought does not occur. But he's not going to have the enjoyment of sex, the enjoyment of drinking and eating and other enjoyments, his family, his money, his fame, all those things that he knows he's not going to have anymore. That he definitely, that's why death is such a tragic, facing death is such a tragic event, the greatest tragedy of all, the most tragic event in a person's life. Why? Because it's clear they want it. But you do not have that same kind of experience with chachma. You never see a person say, I won't be able to do it, I won't be able to do it. As much as they desire, that's the amazing thing. I mean, the world knows the famous story with Archimedes. I mean, how before he died, the soldier wanted to kill him, and he asked him before he died if he could just finish the... he was sitting on the floor working at a mathematical formula, if he could just give him a chance to finish the formula. Okay? So that shows you, that shows you how that the psyche of man looks at Chochmah in a totally different way, that it wants to, even though he knows he's going to die, more important is the involvement in the Chochmah, okay? And also that you don't have the other thought that, hey, I'm not going to be able to be involved in the Chochmah anymore. For some reason, I don't know why, but that's the way it is. You don't have it. Okay, so that's the third aspect of B'shach B'cha Tishmarlach. It's correct. In spite of the fact that I didn't think he's going to finish necessarily, it's not a thought-out thing. That's what I'm saying. It's not a thought-out thing that the person is going to say, kill me now so I can finish the formula afterwards. I mean, he doesn't think he's going to, because that doesn't seem sensible either. But on the other hand, you don't have that feeling that you're going to, that letdown that it's all over. There's no letdown after Chachma. Chachma never has a letdown. And just like it never has a letdown after you engage in it, it doesn't have that other type of letdown where you feel, I'm not going to have it anymore, and then you're suffering. So it's a strange thing, but the way the mind looks at Chochmah is different. There's a different psychology, different psychological framework for the experience, how a person relates to the experience and the enjoyment of learning. It's a different kind of a way of that a human being relates to it. Okay, so that's the third thing. There is a fourth dimension also to it. Okay, the fourth dimension is that, again, I mean, it's insofar as a person does relate to the self, so the person philosophically, if a person has insight, philosophical insight into Torah, then they really have a knowledge of, to a degree. of the existence of the soul after this life. Okay, so therefore they have a kind of an insight about it. I mean, even though it says the Navi said Ayin La Rosa La Kim Zula Sacha, but the fact is a person that's a great Chacham does have some kind of an insight. And the greater the Chacham, the greater the insight into the existence of the soul after death is. That's a philosophical dimension. So basically, there are four aspects of B'shach B'cha Tishmar Lacha. Yes, Socrates said that the philosopher is always practicing death. What he meant is that what people call life, the philosopher is always avoiding. So in the eyes of in the value system of the masses, the philosopher is always practicing death. Because what is life? Life is the clamor of life. It's the parties, it's the fame, it's the fortune, it's the, you know, all the gratifications of the instinctual. I mean, that's what life is. And the philosopher is going away from that into a world which they'd say this is death. So, and basically, I mean, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Zos haTorah, Adam ki yamos ba'ol. That's what it means. Zos haTorah, Adam ki yamos ba'ol. Ain't a time is kind old nisha meanness at small. What does it mean, meanness at small? It kills himself. Nothing's going to be miskayim. What it means is that he really, his energies are away from all those things that people call life. There's a whole thing. This is life. Okay? He goes away from all of that. That's a very courageous move. Very difficult thing to do, and it's very courageous kind of act, because in a sense, I mean, what he really is doing, he's really facing death. He's facing death, and he is doing something which the rest of the world shuns and even fears, let alone doesn't value. And he knows that, and that takes a lot of courage for a person to be able to do that. That's a very courageous activity. That's where that's Adam Kiyamas Baal. Because I'll say that unless a person is on that level, Torah is not really miskayim. Torah is not miskayim. Because it's not really a part of his nature. It's just it's a kind of a thing which is superficial to his, not deeply embedded. Miskayim means it's deeply embedded. It's a part of him that cannot be uprooted no matter what. No matter what happens, it can't be uprooted. So a person can be kind of Torah, but something comes along and he loses it. I mean, the different experiences in life, and they're thrown. It can be thrown out of the taking the Torah to be lost. And you see, it happens many times in life. It may happen in a way that everybody is obvious to everybody, but the inner life of a person is not always visible. But there are many people in life that they had Torah at one point, they lost it. That's what it means. Niskayim means can never be uprooted. Can't be uprooted. What type of a person is that? That's the person that has a certain kind of a courage that they can engage in something which has nothing whatsoever to do. That's really the Torah of Shema. Nothing whatsoever. There's no benefit whatsoever in terms of the activity that they're doing, either in the way of social recognition or any kind of benefit that the world would consider life. Whatever, it's very easy to do. All you see is all those things that people say, yeah, that's good, that's wonderful. Yeah? All those things, those things are called life. And Torah, the real Torah is a person that engages in activity of Torah Lashma, which means that what he is doing is what everybody would consider a death. That's Adam Kiyamas Baal. So that's correct. I mean, that's b'shach b'cha tishmo alecha, really, is that the Talmud Chacham is, during his lifetime, he always faces that. He always faces a lot of people. But that's really basically what we're explaining, why, you know, the different aspects of why that's so. Okay, the first one was that the interest is outside the self. That's a very big quantitative factor. The quantity is quality there, okay? That's one. to and basically, you know, the Tesis over here, we'll get to the Tesis. The Tesis over here mentions, just, he's answering a question. Let's see what it says. He says, how's it possible? The Gemara says he's nitzel from all these different things. The Gemara says that, what does it mean? Take a look. The Gemara says that the case. Mechairo umen alisna edebezner nizdam the law fuka shalor nitzel mina kotzim mina pchosim mina barkonim. Vadayim is your mechayro mel listen. Veini de beis derech malach. Kivin shalom al shachar nitzel mechayro min al listen. Vadayim de beis derech malach. He gil precious drachim nitzel mekula. So the Gemara says. The Gemara asks later. The Gemara says my precious drachim. So the first Gemara's answer is Amar of Chizda zet talmud chacham. Okay, zet talmud chacham. And then the Gemara says later, "Zet tamachav in sakle shmeitz alibet hilchasa." The Tais says, "Tema ve'ayach nitzul mikulon v'alola nitzul miyetzahar bidnud lo asik v'tara." The Gemara says, "In the time you're not asik v'tara, you're not nitzul miyetzahak." The Gemara says, "Nitzul mikulon v'yeshlama stam tamal chacham taroso naso v'osik bo mahara kol shor v'ina holich dal ramas below tara." What does that mean? That means a constant preoccupation. That's his constant preoccupation. So that's the first thing, that the preoccupation is in the world outside of the soul. That's the real Talmud Chacham. The second thing was the idea of the regret. That the B'shach B'chatish Malacha is the idea of that the Talmud Chacham is having regret. The third thing was the idea that the psychological sense that it's all over doesn't exist with Torah. And the fourth thing is the philosophical recognition of the existence of the soul beyond the physical. Okay. You really see the chachma of the pasuk of the Shlom Melech. I broke life up into three components. It's pretty amazing. And it's true, because there are those things that are essentially of life. That's b'salech v'tanecha ascho. And then there is the dilemma of life and death, b'shach v'atish malacha. And then there is v'kitzos ha'ita sichecha. That's the ultimate existence. An amazing thing. Contrary, see, the Torah does not try to entice, neither do the Nevi'im try to entice people to keep the mitzvahs because of Olam Haba. And you see in this pasuk that the greater, two-thirds of the pasuk at least, the greater part of the pasuk is Olam Hazeh. It's Alech L'Tanch Al-Sva and B'Shach B'Chat Tishma Alech. So those two-thirds at least are geared towards Olam Hazeh. Yeah, V'Kisos Yit Sichach is the last part of the pasuk, which is true. In reality, metaphysically, it's the greatest. But in terms of our perception, it's the smallest. See? In terms of our knowledge, it's the smallest. We have more knowledge of B'Salach V'Tanech Elzcho and B'Shach B'Chot Tishmo Alecho. We have more knowledge of that, because it's within our grasp, than we do of V'Kitzos Ahit V'Sichecho. Even though we do know that that is ultimately the greatest of all three. Because that's the pure existence of the soul has to be the most potent of all three. But insofar as we are convinced by knowledge, you see, knowledge is only the first two. The last one is not based on our last one is Ayin Lo Rosso or Kim Lo Secho. It is the most powerful, and your mind will tell you it's the most powerful, insofar as you know it exists. But since the direct knowledge is limited, the influence of the last one is going to have to be is limited. For the first two are the more powerful in that sense. I mean, the first two, as opposed to the last one, is different kind of. They're both powerful, but in different ways. Metaphysically, the last is more powerful. Yeah. We said in the Chazal that Adam Zosa Torah Adam Kiyomas Ba'ohel. So that's exactly why the person will not have regrets on the Yom HaMisa. Because on the contrary, because Adam Kiyomas Ba'ohel means all his life he's living in that framework. That's on the Yom HaMisa. On the contrary, that's the exact same framework. Okay. So therefore, so the two frameworks actually coincide. So by definition, there won't be any regret. Now basically what the Torah solved is, I mean, what Shlomo Melech was expressing was the solution to that dilemma that no one can escape. And that is basically, as great as the instinctual, as great as what we call life is, that's how horrible death has to be. It just has to be that way. Okay. And the only solution is this solution. And this solution, on the contrary, that's really what the pasuk, what Chazal say, Ashrecha v'tov lach, Ashrecha v'bolam hazeh v'tov lach, it means that it's one continuum of the highest level of existence, and the greatest participation in the life of Adam that was really allotted to him. Yes.
What about the Rambam and Malach?
It's correct. That's correct. The Rambam says nefesh tshuva too. That kadesh yisku l'chay olam haba, which means to say they're looking forward to olam haba, looking forward to it. Because they sense. That's what I told you. The great chachamim can, even though the navi says you can't know what olam haba is, but great chachamim have an insight about it. They have such a thing as not knowing what a thing is and yet having an insight about it. They have an intuition about it. They have a correct intuition about it. And they look forward to the existence where what their soul struggled for in this existence and achieved to a small degree, that will be expanded to an unbelievable degree when the soul is free from the limitations of the guf. So that, what they did is a small thing compared to the experience of completing that kind of an existence is like. That's Chayalam Abba. That's what I mean. Law Meis Mihaluko was what I explained, what the definition of Sefer Tehillim is. You have to know what the definition of Sefer Tehillim is. The whole definition of Sefer Tehillim is based upon the Shira, Az Yashir Moshe. That's the original thing. That's why you say, after Psukkot Azim, you say Az Yashir. Okay. So, yes, some say you can't say it because it's Shira Dov Rav Decha, but I mean, the reason why it's there is because that's the prototype. That's the prototype of all Shira. But the idea of Shira is, the concept of Shira is summoning the emotions in the direction of appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Yashir Lod Hashem Ki Go Go. That's all Shira. That's what all Shira is. Lo Amesim Yahal Luka means that after death, that's not possible. Because after death, there's no, you can't take the emotions and channel them in the proper direction towards Shir Lashem Go Go, because there's a different kind of existence there, and that you're not going to be able to do. Okay, the idea of Sheol means where the person dies in a tragic way that the soul has not been able to attain its perfection. That's what David HaMelech was worried about. That should not happen to them. That's Sheol.
But it's not that.
No, there's a difference between Yediyas Hashem and Binene Miziv Shechinoso, which does exist in Olam Haba, and Hallel, which is only in Olam Hazeh. Hallel is Olam Hazeh. But Binene Miziv Hashchina, that's Olam Haba. It's a different kind of a phenomenon. That's why it's a Sefer Tehillim is a unique Sefer. It's a certain dimension an important dimension, of course, of human life. I mean, but it's a dimension that was the whole question. As the Gemara Chazal said, Devar Malach is God that his Tehillim should be accepted like Torah, like Talmud Torah. An amazing Chazal. So what does it mean his Tehillim should be accepted like Talmud Torah? If you sit and you learn Tehillim, it's not Talmud Torah. Not Mekayim, it's just Talmud Torah. But the answer is that the idea is learning Tehillim is Talmud Torah. But he was talking about the objective of Tehillim. What is the objective of Tehillim? That a person is in a state of mind where all his emotions are just pour forth Shevach Lo'adol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a certain state of realization. That's the state of Hallel. So David HaMelech was responsible that he was hoping that should be on the same level as perceiving Chachma itself. It's a certain perfection of the soul. It's a perfection of the soul. Which one is greater in terms of the perfection of the soul? He was hoping that it should be on the same level as actually seeing an idea and seeing Chochmas Hashem. I mean, it's an interesting thing. That was what his tefillah. That's a Chazal mean. That was what he was powerful for. But as Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, we don't know what the answer is. So you're better off learning. He said, the person has a suffix, he should learn. But this is an Asik for David HaMelech. It's not an Asik for an ordinary person. Okay, but that's the idea. The idea is that when a person experiences that state of mind where all the energies perceive, he's in a state of perception of the Ramah Sakharish Baruch. I mean, he understands. He pours forth, and naturally wants to pour forth with Shevach, and then Hallel. That's a perfected state, and that's what David HaMelech has said. That state should be equal to a state of uncovering an idea and seeing Chachmas Hashem in terms of the soul, in terms of the perfection of the soul. Okay. So that was his tefillah. But what does Rambam say? Lefi masa v'ro chachmaso zocha. The chay olam abos depend upon two things: masa and ro chachmaso. So chachma gives a person an insight into chachmas Hashem, and it gives him a certain yedias Hashem, a certain which gives him a chelik olam abo, and maisa as well. The Hallel, I would say, is in the realm of Maisa. It means where all the emotions are directed to the proper goal. So that gives the soul a certain perfection. And Yediyas HaChochma also has an effect. But it's an effect that is brought about by two different variables. There are two variables that bring a person to Chai Olam Haba. And that's what it means in this Pala, that this should be as significant as Yediyah. It wasn't as knowledge of Chachmas Hashem. Okay, in terms of the soul gaining a place in the next world. Okay, so it's an interesting puzzle. So, but going back to Lo Amesim Yehaluka, Lo Amesim Yehaluka, V'Anachnu Nevorech Ka Me'at Avad Olam is very good. Because in Bracha is Yediyah. In Bracha is recognition. Bracha Tor Hashem, Elokeinu Ken Melech Olam. It means it's a recognition, whatever it might be, Matzal Lechem in Oretz, or whatever God created. So in Bracha really is a recognition that God is the source of all that is good. That's what Bracha really means. So Anachna Nevorech Ko Me'atavad Olam, that is not limited. That's what the Pesukim are saying. Hallel is limited, but Bracha is not. Yeah, you're right. I mean, all the Hallel and all the Shevach in Tehillim are based on ideas, deep philosophical ideas of Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem in terms of it's an infinite world of Chachma there. I mean, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yashgacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Borei Olam. I mean, all the Tehillim includes everything. Baruch Hu Nafshi includes Yashgacha. I mean, Mizmashilam Shabbos, the Ferach Vinkum Eis, I mean, the whole world of Chochmas Hashem. And if the emotions have to flow from those ideas, the emotions flow from nonsense, that's not called Hallel. I mean, it flows from those ideas. But the question is, that experience, that experiential Hallel, that has a certain value to it. Okay? It has to be, of course, like the Rambam says, that a person's Avas Hashem can only be in proportion to his Yediyah. It can't be just some emotions. So, but that's what he was mispaul, that the time that he spends in those emotions shouldn't be considered a waste of time in Ibid's mind, but on the contrary, in terms of the perfection of the soul, should be as significant as a piece of chachma. That's what he was saying. You see Rashi over there, Rashi. Rashi says, "Udiktoni bebraiso aver machab mitzvah lavmi lohagim in ayisurin kama elamid little schar laosit." Okay, right. So, I mean, so what does Rashi mean? What does it mean? In contrast, it seems she'd be better off. She whatever you say. Because Yisurin take away from what you lose in Olam HaBa. This is the worst thing for her, actually. first thing for. So it means like this. Well, let's take one piece more. Yeah, so the second part of Rashi. Rashi says that the Ka'amris, at the time of the Brisa, Ver Machaba Mitzvah, Lav Me Lo Hagim Ena Yisrael, Kama Lo Mi Lito Schar Lo Asid. So what does Lito Schar Lo Asid mean? Lito Schar Lo Asid means that whatever the mitzvah does, the Aver is Machaba Lo Asid. How does that work? Because it means to say like this. It means that the state of the soul could be the Avera actually undoes the perfection that the soul gains from mitzvah. Okay, mitzvah brought the soul close to perfection. Mitzvah only brings a person close. It approaches it because it gives them a certain basic predisposition, you might say. Predisposition towards the good. So that's what mitzvah really gives a person, a certain predisposition for the good, towards the good. But Avera will undo that predisposition of the soul, and therefore, la'osid, they have no schar. Apparently, a person gets schar, even if the soul is predisposed towards the good, it also gets schar. And that Rashi says, la'osid, the Avera, that's what it means, Avera machaba mitzvah. It means mitzvah can create, because of the methods that mitzvah works with in perfecting a person and in steering them on the right path, so it creates a predisposition for the good. But when avera comes along, it completely undoes the predisposition. So therefore, insofar as lasid lavo, insofar as lasid lavo is concerned, so there's no benefit whatsoever. It's gone. The mitzvah is completely gone. Okay? By Torah, we don't say that. By Torah, we don't say that. By Torah, we say that ain avera machabe Torah. And the reason is because the avera really is the Torah really is the knowledge. So the soul through knowledge has gained a different. That's not a predisposition for the good. That's the actual good. So the avera really is pulling on the instinctual. I mean, it drags them down, but it can't wipe out the good that has been gained through the knowledge. Okay, it can't wipe out the good that's been gained because the soul has become. The soul has become informed, has become on a different plane in terms of knowledge, and therefore the avera can't affect that. Ain't avera machaba tera. That's what it means. Ain't avera machaba tera. Can't affect that perfection of the soul. Okay. But now, so what does it have to do with sota? What does it have to do with sota? That's the question. Yeah. So apparently the thing is like this. That what Chazal, because simply you could say, I mean, whatever schus she has, I don't know, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. But apparently the Mishnah wasn't happy with that. I'll tell you why, because if that were the case, then the whole, what's the whole idea of schus being told? How could schus help? I mean, this is the Torah set up an institution of Ashkos Meisota. And it doesn't make any sense that there should be any schusim. On the contrary, shouldn't be any schusim. It should be it's a nes nifla to show everybody the onish. So there shouldn't be any schus altogether. So the whole Mishnah really, that's what's bothering the Gemara. The whole idea of a schus being tola, we have to understand what kind of a concept that is, a schus being tola. Why should it be tola? So Ashkos Mesot is a nes, and that's it. She dies, and this shows everybody that Neof is a chayav mesot. Okay. It creates in their mind an impression of the seriousness of the chait. Okay, so that's the objective of the Torah. So why should a schus be told? A schus undoes that whole thing. It undoes the whole purpose, which is to manifest the chomer avera. See, that's really the problem. You see, that's really the problem, basic problem. So you have to answer that problem first. The answer to that problem is that's not, that Ashkos Mesot is not so simple. Not just a matter of the an ace, boom, and that's it. The person dies, and it shows everybody that, what happens to an office. Now that's not really what the purpose is. That's not how it works. How does it work? What is Ashkos Mesot? What the Gemara is saying is, from the Mishnah you see, Ashkos Mesota is not like a lightning bolt that kills it. But Ashkos Mesota means that
She's brought before the Bezdin Shamayla. That's what it means. It means to say, if there were no Hashkos Meisotos, then is Olam Kiminhagan Oeg. I mean, is natural, she's under Hashgacha Klolius. Under Hashgacha Klolius? Hashgacha Klolius, a lot of things can happen to a person. So that itself is exer. So Hashkos Meisotos Hafkor from the Hashgacha Klolius, and it's a hachnasa to the Ashgacha Pratis. It means to say, Mei Sota, the institution of Sota is the only case in the Torah where you have an actualization of the Din Shamayim Bifnei Hakol. That's actually what it is. Okay. There's Bezin Shalmata and there's Bezin Shalmaila. In Sota, you have a kind of a combination. It's the Bezdin, the processes have to be done through the Bezdin Shalmata. I mean, through the people, through the whole institution of the process, which has to be done through Bezdin. But Bezdin really gives her over to the Bezdin Shalmala. That means that she's Nodun. Her din takes place b'fnei kol am, a din shamayla. That's really what that's what the institution is. So it's not simply it's not simply that she's killed, you see, but the halacha is that the avera is nimsar al yedei hashkoa sota. It's nimsar lebezin shamayla. That's what hashkoa sota is. That's why there's no kasha about the schus. Why the schus is tola? Because it's not just simply a magical thing. I mean, chutz l'derech hateva. I mean, that she just dies. You don't have such a thing. All of a sudden, a person just stricken dead. I mean, what kind of thing is that? It's not the way the system of Torah works. What it is that her din is nimsa to the bezin shomayla, and bezin shomayla. So schus plays a role. So you can't just eradicate schus. Okay? You can't eradicate schus. She's being nodun for that avera. But schus can't be just removed from the picture. Okay? Yeah. So now you understand the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara's kasha is, how, you see, first of all, it's hard to understand the Gemara's kasha, like we said at first, in the beginning, because the Gemara says, S'chus t'mai, ilay m'schus t'tarai in a mitzvah v'yosehi, ela s'chus t'mitzvah, s'chus t'mitzvah mi migna kula hai, right? So, I mean, how do you judge? What's the Gemara's kasha mi migna kula hai? Yes, kula, what's the shit? Maybe that's enough, and it holds it off for 3 years. So maybe that's the kula hai. I mean, how can the Gemara make such a, what kind of a question is the Gemara asking? How do we know what God's cheshbonos are? Doesn't make any sense. But the answer is like this: what the Gemara is saying is, that since this is din shalmala, and we know the principle that avera machaba mitzvah, which means to say that she is going to be judged according to the state of her soul, so it's virtually impossible that a schus mitzvah should be effective in this din. You understand? Because the soul, that any benefit that she had from mitzvah is completely eradicated. Because if it were Torah, the Gemara says, that'd be a different story. Then you could say that the din shel my law would not necessarily result in her immediate death. Okay? Because the din shel my law is based on the principles of mishpat. And since the soul really can't be, the perfection of the soul can't be obliterated through the physical avera, okay? So therefore, a din could be, she could have a hamtakas a din, and the hamtakas a din would give her a schus to live for a year, two or three, okay? But mitzvah, the Gemara says, is impossible. Because in mitzvah, whatever benefit the soul gained the soul will lose, because it's merely a predisposition towards the good, and the avera eradicates the predisposition. So it's virtually, it'll be impossible to have mitzvah come into the picture and to be of any consequence. So what's the Gemara's answer? So Rashi gives the answer. So Rashi says, he says, "Utani bebrisa avera machaba mitzvah lav milohogim min hayisurin kama ela milito schalos." See, so we need one more premise over here. What does it mean, logim min hayisurin? We explain that mitzvah really works in a natural, a very natural way, because the person that's involved in mitzvah has a certain derech hachayim which prevents them from coming across a certain kind of devastating activities of life. Correct? But apparently it's more than that, because we know that the derech shorim rotzel lelech malichanosa. So it means to say that's true, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds to the path that the mitzvah is established, Ashgacha complements it. So therefore, since mitzvah by nature does protect the person from horrible things, but it's not just natural things, but b'derech shadam ratzel lelech malichanosa means the Ashgacha supports that kind of a thing, and therefore the Ashgacha also helps the person not to come in contact with certain events that would cause them yisurah. Okay? Yeah, that premise must be it. Otherwise, the whole thing doesn't work. So now the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, and now Rashi distinguishes between this world and the next world. In this world, it's megan from Yisurin, and in the next world, it's not. So the next world, we said, is in terms of the perfection of the soul, because the person loses the perfection. You see, the person loses the perfection. The avera eradicates any kind of predisposition that the person had towards the good, so the avera eradicates that predisposition, it's gone. However, there are two dinim shel milo. There's a din shel milo binogeya to a person la'achar misaso. That's the ultimate din. But then what does the Rambam say in Perek Shlishi Hilchos Tshuva? Every year shoklin kishoklin verosov v'schuyosov shel odam. And there we say Mavarisha Rishon, or the whole system over there. But when we explained that Rambam, what we said was that it's a different kind of a din on this world than on the next world. Why? For a simple reason. See, in this world, you're in a state of Bechira. So you're actually placed here in an arena where Bechira is determinant, and that's really the challenge. That's the whole challenge of this existence, to exercise your Bechira in this framework of existence in Olam Hazeh. Now the Psak in Olam Hazeh is not the same Psak as the Psak in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the end of the line. That's it. Now the question is simply what the state of the soul is. But in Olam Hazeh, there's a different in Olam Hazeh. If a person would be destroyed immediately, then there wouldn't be any. He wouldn't be able to live. I mean, that's the midas adin. The world couldn't survive. So what does that mean? That means to say that in this world, Bar Kadosh Baruch Hu, with Olam Hazeh, shatful in this rachum. What does it mean? Shatful in this. It means to say that God allows a person, gives him a chance to exercise his bechira. So the decision vis-a-vis Olam Hazeh is: do they have a right to continue with the process of exercising their bechira? It's a different kind of a din. You understand? It's not an ultimate din. It's a din insofar as like the Rambam says that the whole world is judged every year between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So what does it mean the whole world is judged? You see the world, the most of the Shoyim, how come it keeps on going? But the answer is because it's only if it's insofar as the judgment as to whether it's worthwhile insofar as a framework of Bechira is concerned. That's a different kind of a din. It's a din. The din insofar as whether the world should continue to exist or not is not the same kind of a din that a person is nodun, lost in love of. There it's the end of the line. That's it. Over here the din is a different din. Should they be able to continue to exercise their Bechira, or should they not be able to continue to exercise their Bechira? You see? It's a different framework. That's so there we say, so that's what Rashi says. That when we say Aver Machaba Mitzvah, that's loss of lovo. That's insofar as the soul is concerned. But insofar as the decision of whether the person can go on with the process, has a right to go on with the process of Bechira, over there, mitzvah does play a role. Does play a role. And therefore Zuchus can be tola. And therefore Zuchus can be tola. In other words, even though the person did something, which if they were to die this instant, so the whole mitzvah would be removed. It doesn't necessarily mean that the mitzvah is not a factor in determining whether they should continue, whether or not they should continue with the process of bechira. That's a different kind of a din, different kind of a judgment. You see, so that's a Rashi. That's a Rashi saying basically. So that's a Rashi saying. And that's what Rashi meant before by schar. Remember the schar. Aveinu v'machab schar means shosik. Schar means loss of love. Schar means the ultimate state of the soul. We didn't know what schar meant when we learned before. Remember, we let it go. But now you see what it means. He means by schar means the ultimate din. That's what schar means. Schar means loss of love. But so it comes out like this. The way Chazal understood Meisota is really revelation. It's a whole different thing than you think when you just read the Parsha Sota. Parsha, you think it's just that's it. She dies instantly and that's it. But Chazal understood that that's not the case. We didn't have such a thing like that. Somebody just suddenly dies. It means it is a nace. The Ramban says the only nace in the Torah. So in terms of them, but the nace doesn't work in just a crazy way. The nace works. What is the nace? The nace is that now she doesn't have the protection of the Ashgacha Klolius. She's singled out for Mishpat. She's singled out at this moment for Mishpat, and that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara first. So the Gemara's kasha was umi megin kula hai. Since there's nothing left from the mitzvah, once the avera comes out and is machaba mitzvah, and the soul is completely the any benefit it had in terms of predisposition towards the good is gone. So then, now she's in front of the ultimate din Torah. I mean, in the din Shemayim. Okay, so she's in the ultimate din. Okay. She's facing the ultimate din. The ultimate din, how could it help her? That's the Gemara's kasha. Me Megan Kulahai, it doesn't have any value. So how could the Din Shamayim actually be affected by something? There's no perfection in us all left. So the Gemara answers, no. That's true, loss of love. In terms, if she were to die this second, you're right. But over here, it's a different kind of a din. It's a din as to whether she has a right to continue in the framework of Bechira. And so far as that din is concerned, the fact that she did do mitzvah, it's a different, it is Megan. So then that gives the person a schus to continue. It's an interesting thing. What? But it's completely in line with what we said in the in Hilchos Tshuva Per Gimel, that it's a different kind of a din. In other words, if the din on this world were an ultimate din, no one would make it. I mean, only Tzad Gomer, because most of the world and even most people is there Averus or Mischiyoso and Mischiyoseim. I mean, so how does it work? But the answer is a different. It's Shoklin Avonoso Shalodom Kineget Schuyosov. But vis-a-vis continuation of the, do they have a right to continue the process? So if a person, even though the person may be wiped out, the soul is at this moment. In other words, what it's saying is like this: if at a certain moment in a person's life, it's possible that all the predisposition towards the good is wiped out, it doesn't mean that God is going to be done. They're going to die that minute. Because it doesn't, that's a different chesed. The fact that they did do mitzvah, the fact that they were engaged in mitzvah, you see, is a factor in terms of giving them a chance at the bechira, at the process of bechira, at the process of bechira. It's different. If the person did not have any mitzvah, didn't have schos mitzvah. I mean, of course, the schos mitzvah is a term that we can't go into. I mean, what exactly? How much is a schos? Is a schos mitzvah? I mean, it's like Donnie mentioned. Everybody, Yeshman, this is a Kol Yisrael, Yeshman, filo Pusishem, Yeshman, mitzvahs Karima. But yeah, but apparently it's not that simple. Not that. It has to be something more significant. Not everybody has ordinary mitzvahs, otherwise you never have a shkos mesata. An impossible shkos mesata. That already is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yoshua Dan. But all the Gemara could talk about is the qualitative aspects, not about the quantitative, the qualitative aspects. I mean, that the Rambam already says. The only one that knows the mitzvahs and the averis is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dayan HaEmes. I mean, that we can't go into. But the quality of the thing you can go into. And the idea, the Gemara is saying, is that even mitzvah, which we say avera machaba mitzvah, what the Gemara is saying is, even though we say avera machaba mitzvah, and the predisposition really is gone, so therefore, how could mitzvah help her at this moment? How could mitzvah help her at this moment, and so far as the din is concerned? So the answer is, it can help because it's a different kind of a din in Olam Hazeh. And the fact that the person was Osek B'mitzvah is a factor in allowing, in the judgment of whether they can continue with the process of Bechira for a longer amount of time. And that's what the Mishnah says. Yesh chus tov l'shem achas, shtei shonim, shalosh shonim. It means that she has the opportunity, she gains the opportunity to continue to engage in the process of Bechira. In the process of Bechira. I mean, that's a big schus, because the fact is, I mean, it could turn out for the worse, but it could turn out for the better, because it depends how she exercises a Bechira. But that itself is a din. Does the person have a right to continue with Bechira? It's a different kind of a din. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's what the Gemara is saying. And so far as the din is concerned, it's only the most, it can only give her an opportunity. For extent, it's an extension. It's an extension. She has that opportunity, but it's a limited time. I mean, the Gzadin is basically there, but she could have the opportunity to exercise Bechira for beyond that moment. But that's the nature of the din. The nature of the din is such that even though avera machaba mitzvah, it doesn't necessarily mean that the schus mitzvah can't play a role in this din insofar as giving her more opportunities of bechira. That's basically what the Mishnah is saying. I mean, you see from the Torah that's true. Why? You see from the Torah by before the Mabul. What does the Pasuk say? Yeah, before the Gzera Mabul, it had to get pretty bad. I mean, it says, what does the Pasuk say? That Kadosh Baruch Hu saw Machshavos Libo Rak Kol Hayom. I mean, why have to be Rak Kol Hayom? Why couldn't it be? It was note to the Kafchova. I mean, apparently that wouldn't be enough. Why? Because Vayinochem Ar Hashem Al Sheoso Aso Adam Al Haaretz Vayisatzev Al Libo. Why? Because it meant that the world reached a level where it can't be a platform, can't be an arena anymore for Bechira. It's a different kind of a din. You see, right open in the Torah, that the din on this world is a different kind. And that's why it doesn't say because God waved the mitzvah. As it came out, it wasn't in the Avera. That's raw Kodesh Baruch Hu Shein Olam Haskayim Midas Din. So Bava Shatul Midas Rachman. But what does it mean? I mean, not just words. What it means is it's a different kind of a din. as to whether the whether this world can continue, or whether an individual can continue in his role in this world of Bechira. But I mean that's what Chazal called Midas HaRachman. That's what they refer to as Midas HaRachman. So it means to say that's Chesed Hashem, that he gives a person an opportunity, even though at a given moment he could not be worth a dime. But the fact is, it doesn't necessarily mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu's gozer, that the person will lose his rights to exercise Bechira in the future. They lose right. That's something that's a different kind of a deal, basically. That's what Rashi says. And the interesting thing in the Gemara is the Gemara really opens up from this Chazal the whole idea of what Hashkoah Sota is. It takes on a whole different picture. You know what I mean? Not simply that she just somehow. Instantaneously dies for no reason. It means to say that she's singled out in front of the Bez Neshamayla for her Gemara Dan. The Bez Neshamata really abandons their role by Sota, and they're most of her to the Bez Neshamayla. Yep, it's a puzzle. Okay. Yep, it's a puzzle. Interesting. Yeah. It says first tells you what happened. Vehevi ish yisishto akayin vehevi es karbono oleho asir sefer kemachsarim leitzgol Hashem leivim levavano ki minchas kino asu minchas akar maskeres avon vehikriv oso akayin vehemido lefnei Hashem. That's the pasuk. And then it says again a pasuk yudches vehemid. The Lakach Khan says, the Lakach Khan Mayim Kedoshim Makli Chores. It's an open pasuk. And the pasuk continues, and pasuk Ches also, Vehemid Akoin Esa Isha Lefnei Hashem, Chores Rosh Isha. I mean, it's Pshuta Shomikra. It's Pshuta Shomikra. Vehemid Lefnei Hashem, says it twice. And what the Khan says to her is exactly the same thing. Vama Khan Lo Isha. Yitain Hashem Osoch Lo Olav Lashur Besoch Hamech. So that's what it means, basically. It's the only case where the Bezin Shomata is most of the din to the Bezin Shomala. That's really what you see from the old Gemara of it. It's an amazing thing. It's open in the puzzle. We're here already. You might as well just round it off already. What it means is like this. Okay? What it means is like this. That we said before, what we said before is that mitzvah puts a person in a certain derech, a certain path. I mean that protects them from evil, and this is in a natural way, to the greatest extent. I mean, in a natural way, that's clear. But then there's the addition of the hashgacha, b'derech shadam rotzei leilech is malichin asa. So it means, that's what it means over here. It's matzel and megim and aperonius means that it increases the person's ability to exercise their bechira. And that's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. What's the benefit of not having yisurim? The benefit is that you have the opportunity to perfect yourself. You see, so that's what it means. That's what it means that mitzvah. That's it's perfect, because what it means is that by mitzvah you get the opportunity. You see, it extends the opportunity of b'derech she'odam rotzei leilech and gives them the opportunity. That's what it means is megin mina yisurin. It gives them the opportunity to exercise their bechira. So that's why over here too, by har, even though in terms of the soul, it's true. If she died a second, it wouldn't help her at all. But in terms of the din of olam hazeh. The fact that she did the mitzvah, you see, does give her certain rights in terms of her ability to continue to exercise her bechira. It's a different, on that level, it's a different thing. So that's why that's why mitzvah itself can be Torah. Because mitzvah means that the b'derech she'odam rotzei leilech of mitzvah, even though in terms of the benefit of the soul it was lost, but still, since she at one time did want to go
in that derech. So that schus, in terms of giving her the opportunity for bechira, is not gone. Is not gone. That's a din in terms of this world. So it fits in very well. By dog and achitofel, I understand. By dog, everything is different. By dog and achitofel, you can't say it was absolutely destroyed, because it doesn't mean that a person, once they have Torah, that they can't turn and be chozel ra. I mean, that's, and then once chozel, everything's gone. The Gemara's only kasha was that how did it happen to them? That's the Gemara's kasha. How could it happen? But once it happens and the person is marzah, is chozel ra, everything's gone.